It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We've had quite the Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We opened up. Typically, it's 11 o'clock. And a superb Saturday down here at Ferg's with the USA soccer team taking on the Dutch. And unfortunately, Ben, give the audience, if they just tuned in, the result there.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the U.S. hopes for a World Cup win came to an end today as the Dutch put up a 3-1 victory over USA. Unfortunately, you know, it does mean we have to wait till 2026 till we'll get another shot at it. But from a not soccer fan's perspective, I will have to say we won the games that we had to win and we tied the games that we had to. Going into this, seeing England coming out begging for a tie, that made me very happy. And then us beating Iran 1-0. That also, or was it 1-0 or was 2-0, something like that?
I know. Well, 1-0, but that was great for American pride too.
Exactly.
And the freedom across the world.
We made a statement.
And
we showed that we do belong on the world stage, that a nation that calls it soccer and not football can compete with the youngest team out there and really kind of hold our own. So I'm really happy with that.
Well, we've got an interesting cornucopia of guests and conversation in the second hour. We're going to talk a little F1 and Grand Prix with Michelle Rahal. Then we'll go to Tampa Bay Downs, the Sandpiper Stakes, and of course our handicapper, Radio St. Pete, Bob Bauer. Then we'll talk a little body armor with Northside Christian head basketball coach Doug Skull, and then Captain Jeff Bickers is going to come down here shortly. Now, you've got a few factoids as I ask you to assist me and provide some filler. You got some interesting stuff today.
Oh, yeah. We got some great news in the hockey world. Our very own Steven Stamkos became the 95th player in NHL history to reach 1,000 career points and recorded all of them with Tampa Bay.
A great milestone there. Well, this gentleman has probably had many milestones in the world of open wheel and F1 and Grand Prix. And I was quite candid with him that it's an area that I haven't delved into, but I've always been intrigued and interested and respected the athleticism and the talent that it takes to be in motorsports. And he is Michelle Rahal, and he's kind enough to join us here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. What's going on, my man?
You guys, man, I'm glad to be with you. It's great to be back on radio again.
Well, you could carry this show on your own with your background. How many years were you on radio, man?
We were on for 7 years with Fox Sports, Race Day on Fox Sports Radio, 450 affiliates around the world. It was a big show. In 2008, NASCAR made the brilliant decision to bring on the NASCAR Car of Tomorrow, which turned out to be the taxi cab of tomorrow and killed pretty much auto racing in the United States. Now Formula One has come to the forefront with, in no small part due to Netflix and their Drive to Survive series. So anybody out there that really wants to see something incredibly interesting and see what it's like behind the scenes of these drivers that get paid $50 million a year, watch that show. You will get hooked. It has increased the viewership of Formula One in the United States exponentially. And now we have 3 Grand Prix in the United States. That's more than any other country in the world. And we now have 1 American driver, a guy named, from Florida, by the way, Logan Sargeant. He raced in Europe in Formula 2, took 3rd place in the championship, and he's been picked up by Williams Formula 1. So now we've got somebody to cheer for, thank God. Europeans have not always been kind to Americans. They really haven't.
And it's almost been, I mean, from a layman's perspective, outside looking in, almost snobbish about their attitude towards the red, white, and blue. Am I correct, Michelle?
Oh, it goes far beyond snobbish. It really does. It's, I mean, I was in 1987. I was named one of the top five emerging drivers in the world by Autosport Magazine, a British publication. They don't often do that. And then I got an offer from a Formula One team that wanted to put me in Formula Two, and I just had to bring $1.2 million with me because they would cover the other $2 million. $1.2 million back in, you know, in 1987 was like $6 million now. So that just wasn't going to happen. But they don't have a love. They want our money. They want our money, but they really didn't want to see us in there driving. We've had two American champions, world champions, and that's Mario Andretti and Phil Hill. And so now it's opened up again. More Americans have paid attention. It's captured a whole new audience, Formula One has. And it's people just don't realize how hard that sport really, really is. But as far as snobbish, yeah. I mean, it's been that way for 60 years. It really has been. And it's kind of a shame. It is what it is. But now we've moved up to another level because money talks and you know what walks. It's just that simple.
Hey, let's take a little trip back in time to our audience, and hopefully we'll be having conversations and get you on more frequently. Let's talk about your upbringing, how you got, you know, you told me you've had a love for the sport since you were a very young man. Let's talk about your history and how you got to this point.
Well, I was 4 years old, and we were some of the lucky ones that actually had a television in, you know, in 1959. And I'm watching my father on television. He won Daytona. He won the CBS Television Classic. And from that moment forward, I was stone cold hooked. From that day forward, even to today, and I'm 67, by the way, I still wake up with a steering wheel in my hands and I think about it every single day. It never goes away. It's an addiction. I should probably 12-step my little ass out of it, but I haven't done it. I'm 4 years old. From there, I couldn't get enough. My father would he would bring home all these wild cars, a Lotus Super 7 that he had, and he'd go to sleep. I'm 14 years old. I'd push this thing out of the driveway because it was loud, crank it up, and just tear Savannah, Georgia up. I would fly through Savannah, Georgia. And I never got caught at that time. Well, from that point forward, I jumped, you know, I turned 16, 17, 18. I went into the Skip Barber series and won my third race, national. So it was, you know, from that point forward, I jumped into what they call Super V. And that was a car that I had owned, which I really would never do again. All I ever wanted to do was drive. And so I got to drive for some, you know, some big names. Andretti. I got to drive for Tom Gloy. I did the open wheel, the Formula Pro Atlantic, which is just, it might as well be a miniature Formula One car because they're incredibly fast cars. And I had a blast doing that. Then Nissan picked me up, and I ran IMSA, the International Motorsports Association, which is Daytona, 24 hours, 12 hours of Sebring, that sort of thing. I you know, drove for them. And from there, you know, I took a bounce into Trans Am. And there was just a certain point where, you know, the money became too great. I didn't have the access to the funds that some in my family do. There have been eight of us that have driven. My father was the first, but you know, my cousin Bob won the Indy 500 in 87, and my other cousin Sean Rahal out of Atlanta, he's still driving. He won the European LMP3 Le Mans Championship, and that's the guy that owned that team is also the team principal for McLaren Formula One, Zach Brown. And so Sean did really, really well. And my other cousin, Graham, is driving for his father in IndyCar, Graham Ray Hall, who married Courtney Force, by the way. So it's a, you know, it's a racing family. We've just, man, you guys are talking about hockey and all that. And all I can think of is, what did that little puck ever do to you guys? You know, I mean, golf, I couldn't putt-putt, much less a golf ball. You put a motor on it, I can do it, even at my age. And it's just, that's just who I am. I'm a gearhead, period. And love it.
You're a natural. Hey, I've got a young man here that does a show with me each and every Saturday, Ben Botham, and his ears perked up when you mentioned Savannah. Say hello to Michelle.
Hey there, this is Ben. Yeah, I went to college in Savannah at Savannah State University. Spent many a time.
Oh, yeah.
And you said you were tearing up the town there. Reminded me of Burt Reynolds in The Longest Yard, where he does a donut around the Forsyth Park there and then drives off into the water off River Street.
We bought that car.
You bought that car?
That Citroen Mercedes, we bought it.
Really?
Citroen Maserati, we bought the car, yeah. Parted it out, obviously, it was underwater. But yeah, I mean, that Savannah State, I've run from the cops through Savannah State.
A lot of people, I mean, have, believe it or not, that's a great place
I'm
to
sure
be.
I'm sure they have, but I got away, which really stunned me. You know, I mean, I thought for sure I was a done deal, but no, I got away. So, nonetheless, the cops still showed up at my father's door the next morning, and somehow they knew who I was, and that was the end of that. But yeah, Savannah, that's my home. That's where I was born. But I came here to the Tampa Bay area 40 years ago to race cars, and I've never looked back. I love the area. I love St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa. Just love it. But, you know, you can't argue about Savannah. It's a drop-dead beautiful city. But it's... you know, it's become, we think it's expensive here, but you remember Forsyth Park, that beautiful park with the fountain and all that. Those homes are in the $3 and $4 million range that are around that park.
Oh yeah. So it's cheap up there. Yeah. So did you ever get a chance to meet Burt Reynolds up there? I know he filmed a lot of movies. He filmed a gator over there on Tybee Beach and, drove around the city a lot.
I met him briefly. I met him briefly. Also met Clint Eastwood when they filmed Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I met him and John Cusack because I was representing Greg LeMond, three-time Tour de France champion. I was representing him. We were in Savannah, and he wanted to meet these guys. And Cusack was a cyclist, so you know we got to have dinner with them at the Pink House in Savannah. Anyway, it was good. It was great. I mean, Cusack was a pretty cool guy, and the girlfriend that I had at the time, it was hilarious. I tried to grab her. She's trying to chase down Clint Eastwood, and I'm trying to grab this little woman, and she's not having it, man. She practically assaulted him to get an autograph, and it was same thing happened with Tony Bennett when I took her there. She did the same thing. And Bennett just laughed at me, and he said, "You got your hands full." And I said, "Yeah, I do." So yeah, Savannah was I like to visit. You know, I enjoy visiting, but because of the art and the culture. But I just love it here in the Tampa Bay area. I really do. And there's a lot of racing teams here in this area that you guys don't even know about. But you know, they're here. Florida's a hotbed for auto racing, especially in the endurance sector and some open wheel, but it's also pretty big with sprint cars and that type of thing.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's our 19th hole clubhouse studios. We're having a conversation, very interesting conversation with Michelle Rahal. He is an encyclopedia, of course, of racing. His family has. He lives in the Tampa area. We're going to try to put together something because we know how passionate people are down here as well, Michelle. When, you know, you've got the Firestone Grand Prix every year. Your opinions of that event and how it's looked upon by the rest of the Grand Prix world.
You know, it's actually looked upon favorably because of the setting. The setting is beautiful. I drove that race twice, finished fourth and eighth not real proud of the 8, but nonetheless, it was a weird track at the time I drove it. Now it is a place everybody wants to be because it looks, for all the world, like you're in Monaco. From a television perspective, it's magnificent. So that race is going nowhere. And IndyCar has become incredibly competitive, despite the fact that half the field are really paying drivers. They don't get paid. You know, it's what's known as a vanity sponsorship. Uncle Jim has a company that throws his name on the car, but it's Daddy paying the bill. So half of the field gets paid, half of the field pays to drive. And it happened in Formula One that way as well. It's begun to change a bit, but we'll see. IndyCar and NASCAR really need to get their act together because Formula One has come on incredibly strong, and everyone is buying up all the games, everything they can get their hands on, they're consuming it. All the media that they can get their hands on, they're consuming it. Formula One is just, it's very interesting. I mean, you've got Max Verstappen, two-time world champion. His salary is $50 million a year, plus $20 million in bonuses, plus endorsements. So he's up around the $85 million a year mark to go race a car. I mean, think about that for a moment. Now, the Indy cars are harder to drive. They're not as fast as Formula One, but they are very difficult to drive, and it's a very competitive series. So I expect to see IndyCar grow if they will do the marketing that they need to do to be able to run alongside F1, because F1 is just about takeover. Even all the NASCAR people, they all tune into the F1 race, qualifying, practice, everything.
F1's even been growing in the sports card market. Usually, a field that's dominated by baseball, football, and basketball. Topps released their first ever F1 card set recently this past year, and it grew with a lot of people buying it. It even sold out within the first night of it being released. So definitely, you can see the interest and the need for more products in the F1 space growing.
Oh, Miami, the Miami race, the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, and now Las Vegas all have a Formula One race on the schedule for 2023, and you better be fairly well off or saving money to get a ticket. The tickets in Miami, we're going for upwards of $6,000.
Well,
it's crazy, is what it is.
Well, it's become trendy. If you're seen in Miami at that race, from what I've gone.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a question.
Absolutely, all the stars show up, and they need to be seen. You know, they just keep dissing the host who does the grid walk, Martin Brundle. That's who beat me out of the seat for the Theodore Formula One car, was Martin Brundle. But they keep dissing him, these celebrities like Brad Pitt and Megan Thee Stallion, whoever the hell she actually is. They diss the poor guy, and he's the reason that makes them famous. But you had a question. I interrupted. I apologize.
Did you get your question answered? Okay. Hey, I have a quick question. We got a few more minutes here. You know, you're talking about they pay to race, and typically it's it's dad's money. Hal Steinbrenner and his son, I believe they raced here several times now. Is that one of those cases where the Steinbrenner family, they say he's a decent driver, but that's an opportunity that they bought in for him? Does that make sense?
Sure. Makes absolute sense. That's how it's done. I can tell you that my cousin, from the time his son was 8 years old up until he was 19, spent $2 million getting him to that point, and that was before IndyCar. And he couldn't get into IndyCar. Ganassi wanted $2 million. Then, of course, they would have covered the rest, which was somewhere around $7 million. So it's a deal. If you got $2 million. But yeah, it's, that's exactly how it's done. It takes it truly takes, it's a very rare thing. I mean, I can think of just a couple of drivers, Lewis Hamilton, seven-time world champion, Formula One, black driver, which gives it some diversity, and then Carl Edwards. Those are two guys whose their fathers were behind them, but they didn't have a lot of money. They were just in the right place at the right time, and they had the talent to do it. So even if you have money, you'd better show up with a bucket load of talent on top of a bucket load of money to get started. In fact, Niki Lauda, three-time world champion, literally bought his way into the Ferrari team. And it was, he took a loan out, a mortgage, against all of the properties that his parents had. And that's how he got into the that Formula One car and turned into a three-time world champion. Right now, the Canadian billionaire, Lawrence Stroll, owns the Aston Martin Formula One team, and his son, Lance, is a driver. Now, the kid is okay. Is he a stunning star? Don't know, but he's got a hell of a teammate showing up in 2023, and that's Fernando Alonso. Alonso at 41 is the oldest Formula One driver out there, but he's also unbelievably good. The guy's in incredible shape. He lives, eats, breathes, sleeps racing. And so he may turn that team into a winner over the next couple of seasons. It takes some time. It's so ungodly competitive, you would not believe it. And television is an illusion of speed. They're going so much faster than you can imagine and going around the corners. I'll give you an example. Jeff Gordon drove Montoya's car at Indianapolis, the F1 car, and he passed out going into the first turn under braking because that's how powerful those brakes are. That's how quickly they stop. Going around corners, your neck is just completely stretched. So they have, you know, these guys have necks like, they train like fighters. They train like a boxer would train. And so that, you know, there's not an ounce of fat on any of these guys. Average height around 5'8", so they can fit into these cars because they are really compact. I'm 5'7", and fitting into that Formula Atlantic, you're right up on the wheel. I mean, you're right up on the wheel. So it's just a different experience. If you've ever driven a go-kart, these are giant go-karts. That's what they feel like, giant carts.
Well, that's the only thing that I could relate to from that perspective. Well, I tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I know our audience, I mean, the incredible amount of information that you have brought to our airwaves this week. I'll get a hold of you in the next couple of days, and you and I will collaborate and come up with some kind of a strategy so we can educate our audience. And maybe you and I'll put together a podcast, do it here from Ferg's, and have some fun. I think we'd have a lot of fun on the air, my man.
I'm so egotistical. I love a live audience, dude.
All right. Well, you have.
I can't help it.
I got to cut to Tampa Bay Downs for a stakes race right now. So we go from racing. We're going to horse racing. Have a great weekend, man.
You too. See
ya. And he's Michelle Ray Hall. There's a family of royalty in the world racing. His cousin Bobby Ray Hall won the Indianapolis 500, and that was kind of interesting. He was disappointed that he got fourth in the St. Pete Grand Prix.
Well, he's more disappointed about the eighth.
Oh, he got an eighth. He got a fourth and eighth, and he's pissed off that he got a eighth place. I think finishing in the top 10. Would make me happy. All right. Well, we're gonna take a break to go to Tampa Bay Downs. We got a stakes race there, and then it's the Sandpiper Stakes and Bob Bauer, the handicapper. Then we'll come back and we're gonna talk to Captain Jeff Vickers. He's got his Coors Light cracked on this beautiful day down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be back after Tampa Bay Downs.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This
Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Well, we're back. You and I are back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I believe that we just got done with the Tampa Bay Downs $100,000 Sandpiper Stakes. And have you been out to Tampa Bay Downs?
I haven't made it out to Tampa Bay Downs.
Never yet. In your life?
Never, not yet. No, I always stayed here in St. Petersburg, tried to go to all the dog races. But now I definitely have to make a trip on out there now that they're featured.
No, we'll take the whole gang out there. I mean, and they run during weekdays, and I absolutely enjoy the heck out of that.
Yeah, I gotta figure out if I'm as good at horse racing as I am at dog racing. I was pretty good, won a Quinella once or twice, and had a real good time at the dog races. So I think I'd enjoy the horse races.
You won a what?
A Quinella.
What? I get it confused. What's the Quinella? Is that you got to pick four?
It's been a little while. I think it's the pick four, and then I paid like the extra dollar or whatever so they could come in any place. So I didn't win as big a jackpot as it would have been. So it was like knocked down just a little bit as well. But it was always fun going to the dog races. I don't know if it's the same dollar amount for horse races as well, if they do like $2 bets or not. But
hey, turn around and take a look at this picture. Here we are live on radio, but I met this gentleman last week, and he's got some interesting art. I'll just say that we've got down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and it's from the old pier, and it's nudist.
That's wonderful. In my opinion, that's the better pier. The upside down pyramid is definitely my favorite of all the piers that we've had.
You don't like this new pier?
No, there's nowhere to like sit down, and there's no air conditioning anywhere. It's all outdoors. It's all walking around.
What do you think a pier's for? Well, outdoors.
I understand that, but also now they're charging for the aquarium. That's ridiculous. The aquarium's smaller than it was before. Now they're charging you money to go in and see it. That's crazy. I like the old pier better. It was more colorful. It was pretty, and it was air conditioned, so you had a place to cool off.
You are an old soul. You just like old stuff, and I appreciate that. However, this was ranked in the top 10 places to go in America to see.
No, it's wonderful. I'm not saying it's not great.
$90 million of people's tax money.
Yeah, but I wish I had a little more air conditioning. It gets pretty darn hot out here, Mike.
You are such a wimp. You, the reason you don't like it because there's not enough air conditioning on the pier.
Well, there's also no like shopping.
Hey, when we get Captain Vickers on, you're going to ask him if he's got air conditioning in his boat?
Well, there's some nice sea breeze coming off, Mike. I don't mind a little sea breeze.
My God, youngster. Oh, hey, couple of things. And as I said, we just got done with the Tampa Bay down Sandpiper 100,000 stakes race and Bob Bauer, and they're a great sponsor and supporter of RadioSaintPete.com. And we'll be working on getting them to support us. We'll do a little racing update each and every week, and then we'll get a podcast on the stream. All right. We were talking Jacob DeGrom. And going to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom ended up.
Did you think he was ever seriously considering coming to the race, being a Floridian?
Not at all. I really didn't even think that was a thought on his mind coming to the race, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I even think that a lot of his injuries that he's been having this past season might have been a little bit overblown, just because I don't think that he wanted to waste any pitches than he had to with the Ray or with the Mets.
All right, well let's switch gears. Let's go to our Body Armor Prep connection, and he's kind enough to take a few moments to visit with us. He's head coach of Northside Christian and Doug Skull, and he's in Boston doing a little college search. And I remember those days. How are things in Boston, my man?
Rainy and cold.
Well, you'll be home soon enough where it's gorgeous, as you're well aware of. So let's talk. A little hoops. I appreciate you taking a moment. We had a good time with the Sunbash Media Day down here that you were a big portion of. All the teams are going to be at Northside Christian. What are the dates of that? Is that the 27th and 29th of this month?
Yes, sir. 27th, 28th, 29th.
And 16 teams from around the area, as well as all the way down to Fort Myers. It'd be a superb event.
Yeah. This is our second year hosting it at the school. Great event, great competition for the kids. It just run first class. It's really good.
Well, you mentioned the word first class, and I mean this in all sincerity, and I get this word from the people out in the basketball world. That's the kind of program you're running at Northside Christian, and you're respected as a coach. And you're a smaller school. I drive by there almost daily. You're a smaller school, but you're able, with your mentality and your focus with your kids, because you can compete in basketball because of the numbers. You compete against the big boys on a very consistent schedule, don't you?
Yeah. We especially this year with as many seniors as we have, we try to make our schedule as tough as possible. And so, you know, just preparing. We have a couple guys that are able to go to play at the next level. So, getting them ready is, you know, one of our main focuses for these guys.
Well, let's talk about those seniors while we have you, and I'll make this a quick conversation because I know you got a lot going on. But let's highlight those seniors, and then of course your own son Skyler, and how enjoyable that's got to be coaching your own son and traveling, and it's all coming to an end pretty soon. All the years of travel ball and hanging out with pops. So talk about your seniors and then your relationship with your son, and then we'll let you get back to his weekend.
Yeah. So we have eight seniors, three of which have been there since the ninth grade, three of which I've coached since sixth or seventh grade. That have been with us. We had another transfer come into this year that helps out a little bit. One of our biggest ones got hurt playing football, which was a really devastating thing for the team. So we're still trying to figure out how to replace them. We can't really replace them, but the kids just have to step up and do more than they were asked to do before. So Tobias Gunter and Skyler are the ones that are next. It's fall is going to play at the next level. Just two extremely hardworking kids. Will do anything for us. My son is the point guard. When you have a point guard that's tough and able to control the game and handle all the pressure that's thrown at him, it helps, makes me look a lot better than I really am. And then Tobias is just he's that dog. We'll go out and get 20 and 10 almost every single night. Doesn't want to lose. So, you know, when you have at the high school level guys like that, it really makes it fun, and it makes it just a fun group of guys.
Well, I'll say this from my experience of the conversations that we had down there. Fine young men as well, and yet you should be extremely proud. Let's talk about your schedule. Do you set your own schedule? I didn't know whether you set your own schedules down here in Florida, or you've had the district set some.
Yeah, you know, like I said, we wanted to try to make our schedule as hard as possible for these boys. You know, there's obviously teams that are locally around that we have a relationship with that we want to keep continuing playing. But, you know, sometimes we do a home and away. You know, this year I just wanted to do one game with those, you know, those guys, and then just try to get games like IMG, which we played our first game of the season, you know, teams, and just reach out to other teams that are just higher up in that, because, you know, the rankings at the end of the year play a big deal in where you're positioned as far as strength of schedule.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if you go through that season and you get some losses playing that caliber of ball, do you get points, I guess, for strength of schedule, and it sounds like you do.
Yeah, correct.
All right, so this weekend is a recruiting process for you and the family with your son, and that's got to be exciting. But at the same time, it's the end of your family era of hanging together.
Yeah. This is our first time experience this. We came up to Boston. There's two schools up here. One, we took a tour. We're going to go watch them here and shortly play. And then St. Joseph's in Rhode Island. We're going to make it out there on Monday. But it's a cool experience to be able to, you know, travel with him. And this is the last leg of our journey, you know, as a father son type thing. So it's kind of bittersweet. But it's, you know, it's all part of the process. And so I really super excited for him. Can't wait to see where he, you know, he ends up. Would preferably love it closer to home. But we'll, you know, we'll see where God puts us.
Well, you're gonna probably end up with some frequent flyer miles, that's for sure. I remember those days with both my sons, and it was an absolute blast exploring the opportunities, examining the climate at the schools, the culture, and I know he's got a great mentor, and I'll let you go spend the rest of the day with him. I look forward to seeing you at the end of the month. I'll reach out to you. We're going to come up and do some play-by-play for the Sun Bash as well, so I'll need a little input for me as well, Coach.
Awesome. I appreciate the time, Mike. Have a great weekend, and look forward to seeing you again.
All right, my man, and tell Skyler hello, and good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. And that's Doug Skull, and he's the head coach. You weren't down here for that. We've got to switch gears. He's got his focus now on this K-State TCU game.
Yeah, it's a great game right now. Kansas State is beating TCU 14-7.
You know why Jeff doesn't mind coming down? Because he can have a Coors Light, watch sports. He doesn't really care what's coming out of my pie hole. And you ready to sit down and visit a little bit here, champ? Grab the mic, put the headphones on, and you don't need the headphones. I'm loud enough as it is, but haven't seen you in a while. How you been? Good. I hear the Captain Jeff Vick, the Jeff Vickers, if I can speak, spent a long hour and 2 hours and 45 minutes each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with your fishing update. How is fishing right now?
Fishing's pretty good right now. It's that time of the year. The redfish start firing up. Right now, the snooker are around. They're running up the creeks and what have you. And there are a lot of triple tail out on their crab traps out there. They can run those crab traps and catch those triple tail out there.
So for the layman like me, the bottom line is it's good if you got the right guy telling you where it's at.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, if you ever need to get it, I'll get you off this. No problem.
Now, let's go back for our audience, because it's been months since you were on, to talk about your background and how you got into this. You're from the Northeast. Penn State fan.
A diehard, yeah.
Right down here in...
Rose Bowl bound, buddy.
Rose Bowl bound, we just... That's two Penn State guys. We had Alex, remember?
Yeah, well, what the heck's with all these Rose Bowl guys? I don't get it.
You guys are... Ohio State backed out of the Rose Bowl, and now you guys get in. Just for the record, being an Iowa Hawkeye.
I believe Ohio State's going to be in the championship probably. So we'll see.
With this transition after USC getting beat, TCU gets beat. A lot of game left there, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But that game last night, I tell you, man, Utah played. They played incredible. They're on their game yesterday.
Oh, and I think regardless of the quarterback for USC, they would have won. Hey, so let's go back to how you got down here. I think about 9 years ago.
Yeah, about 9 years ago now. Yeah.
And your background, your history in the world of fishing, and now you're in God's country.
Oh yeah, we live where people vacation. That's the beauty of it. So, I mean, I talk to my friends up north, and they're snowbound and everything else. Like, come on down. It's where people vacation. It's incredible. But I'm from Delaware originally. I moved here 9 years ago. I've been fishing this water for quite a while. I was known for stripers up in Chesapeake Bay, fishing up there. Fishing's definitely always been my passion, for sure. You know.
Now, when you're fishing up in Chesapeake Bay, of course, you're gonna have a few more layers on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of course, Ben here, I didn't realize that he was so adverse to the elements. He'd be asking you for a heater on your boat up north. Down here, he wants air conditioning when he goes outside.
It's the perfect weather right now.
Yeah, it's perfect right now, Mike. I want my cake and eat it too most of the time. So most of the time I can down here in Florida. So,
so were you doing the same thing up north, or you just happened to fish? Or did you make a decision when you got down here that you were going to throw yourself into doing this?
I knew 20 years ago I was going to be doing this. I just had to get down here. It took a long time to get down here, that's all.
Well, yeah, I did the same thing when I got here about 6.5 years ago. I knew I was going to end up at Treasure Island, where I live now, and I don't regret one day of it.
No, it's incredible down here for sure.
So let's talk about interest. You can't give names. I know I've talked to several guys, but you probably had some celebrities, some interesting people that have come your way to go fishing through Coors. I know athletes.
Oh yeah,
love to fish. Sure. Had any interaction with some athletes that you were able to take out?
I took Darryl Knowles out. He's from the A's team. He's 72, 73, 74 reliever, middle reliever for him. Great guy. He's been coaching forever. He's finally got out of it last year.
You know, I do a golf show, and one of the things that I notice about the world of golf, it's amazing. Like Jack Nicklaus loves to fish. Huge fisherman. Even Tiger Woods likes to fish.
Yeah, he's fast fishing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting parallel of these athletes, because for the most part, fishing is pretty much a relaxing.
Oh, it's awesome, man. It's a good time. Just get out there and relax and forget about life and stress and what have you.
What's the biggest fish that you've ever reeled in, I guess, if you will?
200 pounds, about 205 tarpon. Yeah, 205 pounds.
That was a war.
It was definitely a war. That's like stopping my truck. I handed a rod and said, stop the truck.
Yeah, what you use to catch that? I don't know, a big old Zebco 33 out there?
No, I use the Florida Fishing Products 8000.
Do this interview. You know what a Zebco 33 XJ hut is?
Yeah, I use that the Bull Bay Rod Brute Force with Florida Fishing Products 8000 reel. It puts a smack down on them.
You got a little history of fishing there, youngster?
No, I just know the old Zepco's, the old Walmart special that you can get any day.
Yeah,
of the week.
You get them in pink and blue and all that. Yeah, sure.
We'll set you up with one of those, Mike. You won't even have to work too hard.
Well, I live down by the water. I've told you this.
Yeah.
And I've been here for 6.5, almost 7 years. I had a place on a freshwater lake up in northwest Iowa for decades with the family in my own place. Never got a pole out at either location. We're probably talking almost 40 years of my life.
Really?
The last pole I can remember is a bamboo rod on Terrace Park, Iowa, at Lake Okoboji with my grandpa. And I didn't have my hook attached properly. And I got my brother right above the eye.
That gave me an earring, huh?
Yeah. And
ring,
he had to go get a tetanus shot. And I think that might have been the end of my fishing career.
That happens out there once in a while, unfortunately.
Mike,
would you want to go to the hospital? Or you want me to take it out?
I'm quite the skilled fisherman.
Well, I have a quick question. I was hearing on the news recently that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission is instituting new rules down at the Skyway Pier. Is that true that they're trying to help with the Pelicans?
Yeah, they're trying to keep them from getting hooked so much and what have you. I'm not really too adverse knowing what's going on with it, but I've heard some rumors about it.
Okay.
You know? I tell you what I've been doing a lot lately, though, is I've been diving for stone crab lately, free diving for stone crab. So
Do you have?
Yeah, I've gotten like seven days straight limits.
My friends behind you, they live right over on the Intercoastal in Treasure Island. Mm-hmm. And my mom there, it's a family. It's an Iowa compound. Anyway, okay. These guys had stone crab traps out there, okay? And with the stone crab traps, how the hell do they capture them? Do the crabs just go to this cage?
Yeah, they go in and drop in the hole and they fall and they can't get out. Me personally,
what attracts them? What kind of bait do you put in there?
A lot of people use pig's feet.
Pig's feet?
Yeah. Because
well, from Iowa, we got plenty of pig's feet, man. Yeah.
I tell you what, I catch them freehand. I dive down, noodle for them. So I'll see them down the hole and I just shoot for them and grab them. Sometimes I go all the way up to my shoulder to try to grab them. I get out with my buddy Ryan.
How big are those babies?
I got some fossils and jumbos. I'll show you a video here in a minute.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of jacket? I mean, it's a pretty penny for those babies, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I probably had $400 in falls yesterday.
$400 cash?
And falls, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nice little. That's plenty of Coors Light money right there.
Oh, yeah. Keeping that Florida chill, right? Keeping those mountains blue.
So where do you dive at? How deep is it?
That's 2 to 5 feet. You know, I just sit there and look for structure. I'll find my hummingbird apex side image and put it out there. I'll start.
Oh, is that the one that we gave away one of them on the golf show? Is that the one that finds where they're at?
Yeah.
It's cheating, man.
Yeah, I know it is.
Crabs don't have a damn. the crabs don't have a chance, and neither do the freaking fish.
I'm going to tell you, this crab is so strong, though. When you grab a hold of one of those things, they're strong. And it's all you can do to get them out of the hole. So before you run out of air, because I'm free diving. You sit there and jiggle them, I guess, and you flip them out, and they get dizzy, and you can grab them.
Well, who do you sell them to? Restaurants?
I don't sell them. I like eating them.
So that $400 went on your table, and you had a nice meal.
My friends have tendencies to show up quite a bit lately, it seems like.
Yeah, because they know that you're out diving.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a little chilly, though. It's 72-degree water. I'm freezing it. But
you wear a wetsuit?
I got one on, but I still get cold, I tell you.
Damn, that is cold.
9 years ago when I came down, I had no wetsuit, and I was doing 60-degree water. Now I can't even do that. 72, I got a wetsuit. It's crazy.
So when you came from up north, you didn't have a wetsuit?
Yeah, my blood was way thicker back then.
People thought you were a freaking maniac.
I think I'm a little crazy anyway when I reach down a hole for a stone crab, so just don't let them get a hold of you.
How big are they? What do you call them? Snippers or whatever the hell
they're claws? Yeah, they're claws. I get a lot of jumbos and
you can lose a digit, you goofball.
Yeah, I know I could, yeah, so you gotta be careful. Sometimes I'll use a glove, sometimes I don't. It depends, because you see them in there, you gotta kind of tickle them around a little bit to make a move so you can grab the corner of their shell, their claw right here.
And they're fighting like hell, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really strong. They're incredibly strong.
Oh my God.
Definitely don't want to get one to bite you. Let's go that way.
I don't know why we never talked about this before. It's pretty compelling, especially since we see him out front on the Intercoastal there. And I was wondering what the hell it is. And I think Kenny here, my buddy, told me, he said, well, those stone crabs.
Oh, yes.
They're like, what? I didn't realize I had them on the Intercoastal.
I think I caught 50 crab total yesterday by hand, and I got 30 claws that were good claws.
Is there a limit what you can?
Yeah, a gallon a person, 2 gallon max on the boat, unless
a day.
Yes, but my buddy has a commercial fishing license, diving license for him. So sometimes I go with him. Ryan's all caught, not bought, and we actually get people call for charters on that. It's pretty cool. We take them out and show them how it's done, and it takes a long time for somebody to reach their hand down a hole. It's pretty funny.
Long time. I think you got to have a few of those Coors Lights in you to be doing that, man.
That probably helps a little bit. Liquid courage.
Right? Oh my God!
Definitely keep your Yeti full of Coors Light. Right?
Have you ever had anybody get one of their digits whacked?
Nah, I haven't seen anybody lose a finger. I've seen a broken finger, but I haven't seen anybody get.
Damn!
I'll take it.
Well, how about just cut?
Yeah, they don't cut you like blue crab cuts you more, but these are more just crusher claws.
Just stick your hand in there, folks, and get your fingers crushed, but you're gonna love the taste.
I tell you, I got some great video that I'm getting ready. I'm gonna send out a YouTube one here soon from Captain Jeff Vickers. But we got some, I'll see how I catch them and the techniques I use, getting in some fights. I win some fights, I lose some fights. But that's just
fight.
Part of,
when you got to fight for your meal, you're going back a few centuries, pal.
I don't mind that. I like doing that. So I'd rather do that than go pay $60 for two claws.
I agree. At a restaurant?
Yeah.
See, I'm not a seafood guy either. I'm weird. I love water. I live by water. I don't eat seafood. I don't fish. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, I'm still ingrained in the old beef and pork world.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, you guys want to do a giveaway right now?
Yeah. Quick.
An RCI Optics pair of sunglasses?
Yeah. Can they text you? No, we don't want to give that line.
No.
We'll do it next week. Okay. We only got about 4 minutes, but I'd absolutely love to.
Also a Bull Bay rod, too. We can do something with the Bull Bay rod.
Let's talk this week, and let's try to do that on the golf show.
Okay.
One on the golf show, and then one on Sports Connection.
Absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun.
Because now we're going to start doing all kinds of giveaways with our text hotline.
Yeah, and be fun.
Sure. Yeah. And those are great shades, by the way.
Oh, they're awesome. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Best on the water, for sure.
Yeah. Are those the ones that Andy was telling me about them?
Oh, they're safety glass, too.
Safety glass as well.
So if you're going to go shooting sports and whatever, even when I'm out fishing.
They're an outdoorsman's.
Yeah.
If you're a hunter, you could be deer hunting with those babies on.
Yes, you can.
Is that what you got on now?
Yeah.
Damn, those are nice.
I always have these on, yeah.
Do you have those on when you're sticking your digits down there in the crab hole?
Yeah, I got my mask on at that point.
Yeah. Well, I'd make sure I have more than my mask on. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my man, how do people get a hold of you before we let you go?
Hey, CaptainJeffVickers.com. Just reach out and you can get right on there, or you can give me a call and just look up Captain Jeff Vickers.
And you're up in Dunedin, right?
Yes, sir.
So all they got to do is hook up to you, come to Dunedin, and have a great day out fishing and
for sure, yeah,
and chilling with Coors Light.
I'll get them out for crabs, or get them out for fish, or if they just want to go island hopping, shell hunting, or whatever. We get them out there,
throw a few beverages down.
I think we have a few on that boat.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Well, man, I like the way you roll. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're all there. That's why I like you. We fit in with each other. Sticking your
nobody said I was normal.
Yeah, man, you. You into going out with them and sticking your digits in one of those crab holes?
If I get some crab to take home, heck yeah, I'll do that. I'm starving, Mike.
Oh yeah, I'll do that. No problem.
You work in a food wholesaler's location. You're never starving.
I still got to pay. I only get 10% off.
10% off? Well, you can get 10 digits off on this freaking deal. I tell you what. Well, I'm glad you educated my Iowa carcass on the world of. A crabbing, I guess, is that what you call it?
Yes, it's free diving for stone crab, yeah.
Free diving. So you don't have a tank on or anything?
Yeah, I'm just holding my breath.
All right, man. Well, Jeffrey, thanks for coming down, man.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Educating me. For Alex Reba, Cody Montgomery, of course, Doug Skull, Michelle Rahal. That was an interesting conversation. Jeff Vickers, how he is. Ben Botham, Joe Bedreau, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. And thanks to Kenny and Sherry Knowles. They'll be taking off for the God's country here next week. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.